is coming to you
from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, Algiers, New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is Pastor H.G. Gayo speaking, inviting you to stay tuned now for this 11 o'clock worship hour. And our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. You brought us to this hour again by thy mercy and thy love. Thank you that you love us this morning and that thou art satisfied with the way things are going in proclaiming thy message. And we thank you that it only can be sufficient as thou dost give us strength and grace and power to deliver it. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray for this message, the 11 o'clock hour. Lead us and guide us, humble our hearts before thee, and cleanse us from every sin. Bless it as it goes out yonder in radio land, wherever it reaches, into every heart, and especially those who do not know thee. Our Father, take thy word home by thy Spirit, in power and with much assurance. Lead us and keep us. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen. Now let us turn to number 115 and sing, There is a Fountain Filled with Blood. Let's turn to 120, I believe it is, and sing, When I See the Blood.
Christ,
on this last verse, I want everybody to stand. Come on and stand. And let's sing this last verse. And let's hear everybody sing. Come on. All right. Oh, what the heck? Oh, what the heck? Be seated. Thank you. Before I forget, I want to make an announcement in regards to the storehouse. We're in need of school clothes for young boys and girls as they go back to school. And they've been asking for them, and we don't have any to give. But if you have any around your home that you don't need anymore, we can use them in the storehouse. School clothes, clothes for boys and girls going back to school. Or if you want to make a donation to that effect, we'll see that it'll go just for that, for clothes that we can dress the boys and girls who need them so they go back to school this fall. And we're glad for your cooperation. Every time we've asked for something, seemingly the response is very good, and I praise the Lord for it. The Lord is blessing this work, and I just stand amazed in what He's doing and how things are going. I know I called Dr. Copeland the other day, and we had a good conversation. Asked me how everything is going. I told him the Lord's working. And there's a friendly atmosphere here. And he just praised the Lord. He said, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. And he can be with us again this coming fall if the people want him. I said, I'll have to present that to the people. And so it's nothing definite now, but as far as he knows, he can be with us again this coming fall. Fall fellowship. So he's feeling well. He sends his love. Now, at this time, there's a dedication. We have a dedication in the family of Mr. and Mrs. Lawrence McKay, if they will come forward with their little child. This is my second dedication. I had one down in Picayune years ago, and I know it's always a privilege and a joy to see the mother and dad dedicating their children unto the Lord. And Mr. and Mrs. Lawrence McKay, and the little child's name is Angelique McKay. And so we want to dedicate her unto the Lord. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for children. We thank You for those that Thou hast given my wife and I and others here. You say that children are an heritage from the Lord. And our Father, we ask Thy blessings upon Angelique here, that Thou will enable her, if Thou dost permit her to live and come to the age of responsibility, that Your blessings will rest upon her. And the mother and father here, if they do not know Thee, may there be a hunger and a longing in their heart after Christ. And may Christ become the center of that home. And our dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll lay it upon the hearts of these two to bring this child up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As Paul wrote to Timothy and said, "My son, from a child thou hast learned the holy scriptures that made thee wise unto salvation." And our Father, we long to see our children be taught the way of the Lord, the grace of God, nourish in the word, and as they too may grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that the knowledge they have received in their childhood would bring them to Christ, will lead them unto Christ, and come to know him whom to know is life eternal. Bless this home. We thank you for them and for their interest in their child. Lead them and guide them is our prayer in Christ's name this morning. Amen and amen. And may God bless you. Raise her in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Thank you. Yes, we're interested in our children and all the children of this assembly, not only here but throughout Radio Land, that you will dedicate your children unto the Lord as the Father take them and bring them unto the Lord. Bring the children unto the Lord. Yes, what a wonderful time when these mothers and dads, when Jesus was preaching and walking, how they brought their children to the Lord. He received them and blessed them. And he said, "Such is the kingdom of heaven." You know, we're all children. I don't know. I just feel like I'm a child in the Lord. I am his child. And we are children of the Lord. Those who have believed, those who want to be saved, God dealing with your heart that he might make you a child of the King. And we thank the Lord for your presence this morning. This is a goodly audience we have, and how the Lord is blessing his word, blessing his work, blessing the word as it goes forth. Now, last Sunday, we spoke on covetousness. I didn't finish it, but I feel led to finish it this morning. Covetousness. Because I guess everywhere we look today, people are coveting. People have covetous hearts. They cannot sit still, keep still, until they've gotten all of their heart's desire and everything they wanted, and after they've gotten it, what they're going to do with it. We're going to show you that this morning. And I didn't know how effective the message was last week, but I've heard from it. How some have thanked me for it, praised the Lord for it. But we have, in the land today, in this city especially, as I witnessed in the last few days, how the spirit of covetousness has taken over the city. And that's from the higher officials all the way down. And I'm seeing something now. We're seeing something there. We thought, well, it wouldn't come at this time. As you read in the paper this week about the city council, they voted for racing in the city, open the racetracks of the city. One more trick of Satan. One more influence of Satan on the hearts and minds of covetous individuals. Gamble on the Lord's day. Keep the Sabbath day holy. reverence it, worship, rest. Do you know why the people are so tired when they go back to work the next day? Those who found frivolity and pleasures in taking the Lord's day and just using it as they please, it's because of their covetous spirit, how they spent the Lord's day. Let me tell you something. You give unto the Lord what he wills, what he desires, and he'll give it back to you tenfold. We take a day of rest. The Lord has set aside a day like Sunday. It's the Sabbath. As far as we're concerned, God's word is concerned. A day of rest. A day of worship. A day spent in recognizing God, God's heritage. In recognizing that you belong to him. To take time out and think. Now the Lord's Day means much more to me now than it did years ago. This is a solemn day to me. I go home, we have our dinner, have our little rest, prepare for the service tonight. It's a gracious day to me. And I do, by God's grace and by his help, shut out everything else. Looking forward to the day of rest, which typifies that great rest, that enduring rest that we're going to receive in eternity. I wonder how many of us are going to spend the day today. What are we going to do? Our bodies get tired and mind is tired physically and it needs rest. You're looking forward to going back to work tomorrow. And many times we might dread going back because of the tiredness of our body, the way we might have spent it today. There are people going out fishing, going out gambling, race tracking, going out just using and spending and being spent for the world. And tomorrow, they can hardly make it to work. They have denied God his day. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow unto sin, you're going to reap the results of sin. If you sow after covetousness, you're going to reap the rewards of covetousness. And God's word is full of it. It's how we spend our time, and our times should be God's time. Do you know that? My times are God's time. And that's where the blessings are. That's where the hopes are fulfilled. That's where encouragement is, in the Lord. We're strangers and pilgrims down here. Strangers and pilgrims. God's made us so, and I praise him for it. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then we gave you the definition of the words covetousness, which means to be cautious, be careful, and to avoid the danger and the evil in covetousness. Now we gave the story about Gehazi, the servant of Elijah, where Naaman the leper, who was recovered from his leprosy, he wanted to give Elijah a gift, a reward for the recovery of his health. And so Elijah refused, but Elijah's servant, Gehazi, lusted or coveted after that reward and lied unto Elijah. But what does his covetousness lead him to? It led him and his seed, his family, be smitten with leprosy. And that's true. Take like rebellion. Rebellion in the heart of a father and a wife will always, well, maybe not all the time, but as a whole, it will turn to children with a heart of rebellion against the Lord, against his servant. I've seen it over and over again. And just like covetousness, covetousness can be handed down to the children who will take up after their dad or their mother and keep on coveting, coveting, coveting. Now you take the covetous heart of Judas, who sold the Lord of glory for 30 pieces of silver. And again, may I ask you, what price are you selling him for? And you may say, what an awful thing it was for Judas to do. All right, ask yourself the question, am I saved? What is it that you desire more than Christ and being saved? What are you coveting after that will keep you, prevent you from coming to Christ? Do I know Christ? Ask yourself that question. Ask God the Holy Spirit to search your heart. The reason you may not be saved is because there might be a covetous spirit within you that you may be covering with a religious garment. And there's lots of people in our churches that profess to be saved. They're religious people. And they're not aware, they may not be aware of that sin of covetousness, that are constantly coveting, coveting. They go to church every Sunday. They make many professions. You might be coveting after your possessions. Where are your possessions? I have none, no earthly possessions to speak about, but my possessions in heaven, where are yours? Where are your affections? Are your affections in the things pertaining to Christ, to heaven? Have you set your affections upon things above? You know, you may lose everything down here, and eventually you will. And that's the heartache of many an individual who have acquired and stored up wealth, and then to see it go from them over a nighttime, over a period of time through sicknesses, where all of their savings is gone. And then that's where their hope is. They have coveted and lusted, and have put all their hope and everything in what they had. You see, life does not consist of the abundance of the things that we have. There's no life there. And the Apostle Paul tells us to use the things of the world, but don't abuse them. Don't covet after them. Use them, yes. Enjoy them, yes. But do not covet after them. Aspire to them and grasping and greediness after things of this life. Yes, you might be coveting after your possessions. You might be coveting after your land. Or, as I mentioned last week in the closing, I don't believe it went over the radio, another man's wife, or another woman's husband. And that's one of the prevalent sins of today in our society. Women are not satisfied with their own husbands. They have to covet after another. Men are not satisfied with the wife of their bosom. They have to covet after other men's wives and not steal until they have found their satisfaction in breaking up a home. That's one of the prevalent sins of today. Wife swapping, husband swapping. God's against it. It's sin. Unholy desires, natural affections, unnatural affections, coveting. That's all in that line of covetousness. A man covets after something, desires after it, sets his heart and his mind and everything on it, his soul, he's going to get it. Doesn't matter what it might cost the other individual. Read the newspapers over and over again. There's the story. I tell you what'll cure all that, the new birth. The new birth will cure that in your heart, in your life. Yes, you may be coveting after another man's wife or another woman's husband. Another man's ministry. There are many heavens aspire to this ministry here, this pulpit. God kept them away. God would not allow them to be in this pulpit because they had a covetous spirit. You could not stand up here and preach God's word with a covetous spirit and the power of God's Holy Spirit and expect it to find results in the hearts and lives of people. You can't do it. I had someone to tell me that. Yes, I covet after that pulpit. Yes, I covet after that pulpit. Didn't you covet? No, I didn't covet it. I did not covet after this pulpit. God gave it to me. And I covet after no man's silver or gold or apparel or another man's wife or nobody. I've got a good wife. God's blessed me. And I'm completely satisfied and contented. And I wouldn't exchange her for anybody. I praise the Lord for that. Don't you praise the Lord for the good wife he's given you? And the husband that you're satisfied with, and you wouldn't leave him for nothing in the world, and you wouldn't leave any doubt in his mind to your loyalty unto him, your fidelity, your trust in one another. You don't have to be coveting after everything else. Or you may be coveting after someone else's position. And brother, the business world is full of that. And if you're a child of God and you're working in a situation where people are coveting after your position, you just look to the Lord. All things work together for your good. They might take it out from under you, but brother, it's working for your good and for God's glory. I found that so over and over again. I heard about it, and I'm telling you, when you think of positions and things in this life, what the word to be, to have a position in the host of heaven, in the church of God. I'd rather be a blood-bought sinner and than to be fighting and struggling over positions and gain and covetousness in a land like this that's going to be devoured one day. It's going to fade away. My hope is Christ. Where's your hope? Where is your satisfaction? Where is your contentment? Mine is Christ. God hates sin, and covetousness is sin. Get time, read that awful case of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts, the 5th chapter of Acts. About Ananias and Sapphira, who sold a certain their land and then coveted after what they sold. Lied unto the Holy Spirit. God hated it. And what it cost them? It cost them their lives. God hates sin. God hates covetousness. And if you're a covetous individual and God showed it to you, I'd cry out unto the Lord to break it. If you're coveting after somebody else's husband, I cry unto the Lord to break that covetous spirit. Or another man's wife. Colossians 3:5 speaks of mortifying inordinate affection, which means unrestrained affection. Mortify it. Put it to death. Crucify it. And I perceive there are some that have that spirit of inordinate affection that's not natural. Desiring, craving, and won't be satisfied until their desires are met. Which means unrestrained affection. Covetousness leads to adultery, leads to murder. Covetousness is an inordinate desire or unrestrained desire of the heart after the creature. Oh, I wish you would covet after the Lord Jesus Christ, that which is good. That you can covet after that which is good, that which is good for you, and after Christ, and after Him, and those things that go along with making up a believer, a Christian, a good home. Be content with such things as we have. Now I tell you, this unrestrained desire leads to man's apostasy from the Lord, serving the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Romans 1:25. We find men today coveting or lusting after honors, after wealth, pleasures, knowledge, and so forth. If they can't get it the honest way, they'll get it the slanderous way. Watch our politicians who are running after different positions, and watch their language. And how they, now I'm not saying they're all crooked, no, but you find some that'll use all kind of slander, another's character, to gain a position in politics. Yes, sirree. And they'll promise everything in the world to gain a certain position, to gain office. And when they're in there, when they do gain the confidence of the people and they're in office, what's the results of it? First thing you know, you've lost confidence in this one and that one. You don't know who to trust. You don't know who to elect. Individuals lusting and coveting after and using all kinds of methods and ways to gain the confidence of the people. But that can pertain to many other things. There's wealth, lusting after wealth, after the pleasures of this world. You just can't get enough in your home to satisfy your home life. Pleasures. Pleasures. And this city is pleasure mad. This nation is pleasure mad, lusting after knowledge. There's nothing wrong with knowledge, but it's using that knowledge in the wrong way, trying to find that knowledge. Some are going beyond the means of the Bible, trying to find out things in that, how man began, not taking the Word of God as it is and believing it. Or man trying to find another way to get saved. They don't believe God's way of salvation. There is a man, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ways thereof are death. It's death. Trying to find knowledge to satisfy their heart and their unsaved condition and their minds. Trying to find out the opposing the Word of God, going astray from the Word of God. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. But listen this. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Now, isn't that wonderful? Covetousness expresses itself in the individual in the form of the love of money. Now, what does that mean? Lusting after material riches. Lusting after material riches. Just to get rich. Just to have enough, you know. We've got to have enough. I'm going to get old one day, and therefore I've got to have plenty in the bank to take care of me, and lusting and working and slaving to get enough money in that bank to keep them. But what are they doing all the time? Now, I know people who work two or three jobs. There's some that work about three jobs, let's say. And they're working all the time. Their body's getting tired just to make money and put it on material riches, save it in the bank, and buy everything that they desire. It leads from one thing to another. And by the time they get everything they want, they die of a heart attack because overworked or something like that. They spend the night hours working. They worked all day, and now they're going to spend the night hour working to make more money. The night was made for rest and for sleep. God's given that to us for our bodies, and we should be have enough sense to know that our bodies are not like a motor. It needs rest, and even motors need rest. They need rest. Day by day, working during the daytime, going to work, make a good, honest living, giving your best, going home in the evening, having your supper meal, meditation, going to bed to rest. Preparing your body for the next day. But no, you find those that are trying to acquire riches, lusting after material riches, and that becomes the very dominant passion of their soul. That's wrong. That's sinful. That's covetousness. The dominant passion of your soul should be Christ, who is our life. How does he acquire it? Now, there are many ways that people acquire wealth, material riches. You'll find those employers who will pay small wages unto their employees, withhold that which they ought to give so they can make gain out of their employees. And I praise the Lord for some of the laws of this land that has to do with the wages, prices, the wages you should pay an employee who's working for you. But then again, you find those that are underpaid in the businesses of this world, where they have large profits and where they can afford to pay an employee a good salary. In Matthew 23:14, Jesus speaks of religious people as scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. "For ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers." I wonder how many of our businessmen are attracted to our churches merely to make gain. You say, is that so? Well, of course it's so. We've had it through the years here unto the Lord. Weed them out. Businessmen within the congregation making gain off the people to get their business. They weren't concerned about their soul. Here to make a show. And they are attracted to our churches merely to make gain. Covetousness expresses itself not only in acquiring wealth, but also in keeping it. There are those who are unconcerned about their soul salvation, who labor day in and day out, year after year, in order to add to that which they have, all that they already have, to them. Now I want us to turn to the 12th chapter of Luke. You got your Bible? I want us to read something here. Now y'all listen. The 12th chapter of Luke. It's the parable of the rich fool. Now listen, the parable of the rich fool. The 15th verse, 12th chapter of Luke, "And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no place to bestow my crops? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my crops, or my food, my grain, and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that laid up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Now that's the Lord Jesus Christ tells us here about the parable of the rich fool. Now in that 16th verse, that 15th, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." Now, you look at that 16th verse, "And he spoke a parable, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." The 17th verse, "And he thought within himself." He thought within himself. Now God knows the heart of man. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, "He is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." nothing is hid from his sight. Now, what were his cares and concerns? All right, in that 17th verse, you'll find he says, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. We learn from hence, the more men have, the more uncertainty as to what he thinks or do, to think or do. The more involvement, the more confused the condition becomes. They are only concerned as to how to save and how to spend. Then if you read verse 18, he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my goods, my crops and my goods. As one thing we see right there, he lacked understanding. Because he says, my fruits and my goods. Do you know that everything that we have does not rightfully belong to us? Do you know that? You ever stop to think about that? Everything that you have, it does not rightfully belong to you or to me. We have thus not rightfully, that we have does not rightfully belong to us, but it has been loaned to us for our use. Everything that we have. Psalms 24:1 tells us, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they who dwell therein. It all belongs to the Lord. But this man thought unwisely there. He says, this will I do. Now, that was improper for him to think that way in his heart. Not realizing that God knows the very intent of every heart. You and I, he knows the heart. He searches the reins of the heart. Now you listen. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no place to bestow my crops. Not realizing that the crops that he had belonged to the Lord, and the Lord enabled him to grow it and to loan it to him for nourishment, for strength, that he may give God all the glory. He says, I will do this. Now, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. How many sinners have said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that? There was a time when I used to say that. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. You're not going to tell me what to do, and you're not going to tell me this or that. Well, God calls that individual a fool. He says, take note now. He says, if I want possessions, if I want riches, if I want to lust and covet, and if I want to run around with other women, that's my business. Well, sure is your business. Because nobody could tell you what to do. But let me tell you something. The end result of all your actions is God's business. God has the final say. Now, men may get away with a lot of things today and do things and get all they want and all their desires. But let me say one thing. You're going to leave everything behind. You came into this world with nothing. You're going out of the world with nothing. Unless you have Christ, you're going out of this world empty and facing an everlasting doom, an everlasting punishment, everlasting torment. There's nothing worthwhile in this world that will cause you to covet. And I'm talking about material riches, the pleasures of this world, the lust of this world. They're passing away. They're fading away. They're slipping from you. What you had yesterday has slipped from you. Let me tell you something. We're up in age now. We're growing older. Youth has slipped from us. Now think about that. Think about your possessions and your wealth and your pleasures. They're going to slip from you. But I wonder if you'd be like those who grew up to be 16, 17. I wish I was young yet. Oh, I wish I knew the things I know now. And brother boy, what a time I'll have. And what money I could have saved. And what pleasures I could have had. And all of this and all of that. If I only would have known. Oh, I wish I was 40, 50 years younger now. You see, that's where the heart is. That's where the heart is. But the believer whom God has saved in years, in the latter years of his life, what do they think of? Oh, if I only knew the truth then, when I was a young boy, if I only would have embraced the truth then, as it was taught to me by my mother or my father, and embraced it then, and know the knowledge that I know now in Christ, what a difference it might have been. That's a good thing to covet after. Is to covet after the righteousness and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if you're longing in your heart that you want to know Christ and know Him. And that you want God to give you contentment, to be satisfied with the things that you have, to use the things of this world, but don't abuse them. And just to recognize that God has loaned them to you just for a little while. He's given us dear wives and given you good husbands and good and nice and wonderful children, precious children. He's loaned them to you for a while. You enjoy one another and grow up together in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But after a while, they'll be gone from you. Many of us are going to be left alone. Where is your hope? Where is your hope? My hope is Christ. My salvation is Christ. It's the greatest thing in the world. The only thing in the world is to know Christ. Hang on to Him. Cling to Him. Embrace Him. He's the gospel. It's the gospel that saves sinners. Christ is that gospel. And it's the message to every one of our hearts. If we want to live, we've got to live the gospel. Christ. We leave you in Radio Land. Until next week, may God's blessings rest upon you. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Thank thee, Father. Thank thee. Thank thee for everything, for material blessings and for the spiritual blessings. Thank you that you have broken all ties in my heart. You've broken the covetous spirit in our hearts. And we're content with such things as we have. Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And may the Lord bless his message to every one of our hearts this morning. I spoke it in weakness, looking to the Lord to bless it and to use it to teach us that our contentment is Christ. Contentment with Christ is great gain. Let's stand. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. for thy message, we feel ourselves a complete failure. But thou hast never failed, and we thank you. You said where thy word goes forth, it will not return to thee void. We thank you for mercy that has gone forth, for love, for thy word. And we thank thee, Heavenly Father, for this number of people you've sent this way. We ask thee to bless them. Open their hearts. And our Father, may they look to Christ if they don't know him. And if they know him, if they know thee, my Lord, they'll walk with thee and find their contentment and their satisfaction in Christ. Break our hearts, humble our spirit, that Christ would be all and in all. For it's in his name we pray and ask it. Amen.